sit down. Yeah, like, how does that work? Like, you can't say good luck to somebody if they're a musician or an artist. You have to say great luck. You can't say good luck. Never understood that. I'm sure it has something.
hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. Great to have you with us. Hope you're having a fantastic summer. It's my privilege to introduce you to Grant Sipe. Did I get that right?
You got that right, Lindsay.
Very nice, very nice. Grant, you are with Compassion Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah. Been doing that for how long?
Well, I've been doing this work for about 20 years now.
Okay.
With Compassion, just into my second year.
So. Yeah. So that's an interesting response. You've been doing this kind of work.
Yes.
What in general would this kind of work be? I like that response. What would it be?
Well, by this type of work, meaning working with a humanitarian organization,
nice.
Doing development in countries that really need some assistance in those areas.
Yep.
And what I love so much about Compassion is that we focus on child protection and community development, all through working through and with the local church in these countries. And so, you know, there's many organizations, great organizations that do this work.
Yeah.
And Compassion does it with an approach, we call it Christ-centered, church-driven, child-focused.
Fantastic.
And it's a very refreshing way to make change and have impact in this world.
Well, Grant, it's good to have you here. We have had a partnership with Compassion for quite a while, and as we were, you know, thinking about pre-service chats, and we always like to figure out who else can we have, we recognize that in this month, they're setting aside Friday, August 19th, I believe it is, to where we're looking at humanitarian organizations and going, way to go. Thanks for doing and setting up some things that can really help us. So we appreciate you coming and being a part of that. Now, as you do your ministry, you talked about the three C's. Sponsorship is a big thing. We've obviously heard about that. Many, many, many people in our church sponsor kids. You've got a new initiative kind of that you guys are working through right now. Maybe just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Lindsay, you know, child sponsorship is our bread and butter, can I say that?
Yep.
That's how we fund all of our programming, or was. We've branched into many new areas. That new initiative that we have right now is called If Only You Knew. And it's really to say, if only you knew the impact that sponsorship has.
Right.
If you go to our website, compassion.ca, there's a whole bunch of new testimonials from kids that have grown up through our programs and have been educated and have come out of that. And it's the testimony of them finding their faith in Christ and also just finding life through sponsorship programs that we do. And it's exciting.
Yeah.
And again, it's for you, if only you knew. And we could not do our work without the partnership of people who sponsor, and also through partnership of churches like you that come alongside of us and enable us to do our work.
Well, just like you kind of stalked our website before you came here to film this pre-service chat, I may or may not have been on your website. And right in front page, there's just a whole bunch of really cool stories. And what did strike me was, it wasn't just some little kids. Like you said, you've kind of journeyed and tracked and been with some of these people for a long time. And so I just encourage you to hit the website. I know Matt's got it along the bottom of the screen right now. And check out some of those stories. But is there a story or two that you could maybe even just tell us, just a little bit, give us a little more color to what this difference making looks like?
Well, there's just so many.
Yeah.
But one of them is Rhea's story. Rhea's a staff member of Compassion Canada.
Oh.
And she grew up in the Philippines and she has her story.
Yeah.
And that journey, that story has brought her here to Canada now with her family. And she's working for Compassion Canada.
Wow.
As a representative of ours. And I would encourage you to look up her story.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you said at the beginning that you know, Compassion Canada is a humanitarian organization, and you talked about sponsorship being something, but you kind of opened the door a little bit that there are some other things that you're kind of leaning into a little bit. New initiatives maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. You know, through COVID, it has forced so many of us to kind of pivot and change and restructure. And so we've opened up our programming to include more things like our survival program, which is a program for moms and babies, where they register at the local church and we help them through their pregnancy, through their childbirth, and through those formative years, those early years of childhood, with assistance in healthcare, in education, supplementing like formula, and just walking in through that process to make sure they're surviving that.
Oh, that's really cool.
And so programs like that, and you know, building classrooms and water initiatives and food security, which is huge right now, coming out of the pandemic.
That's really cool. And I presume we can discover that on your site.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, you know, we talk about being out of COVID, post-COVID, all those, you know, whatever that all means. Are there any countries, I'm curious, that have sort of opened up to compassion in the midst of all of this? Because I know there's some things that closed down for sure. I'm just wondering, did some other avenues possibly open up?
Yeah, we've, we're now active in 27 countries. Hmm. So we've added Myanmar and in Thailand as well.
Nice.
So that's exciting to see that growth. But at the same time, in some of the countries we've been working with because of COVID, we've been pushed back. And you can imagine, like, we've seen gas prices, food prices, things like that increase here in Canada. You can imagine in some of these countries what the cost of doing this work is now and has escalated to. So we've seen some costs increase up to 90%.
Wow.
In some countries. And I think it's really pushed us back, like some say up to 20 years in the work that we've been doing.
Wow. Yeah. So there's opportunity, there's some challenge. Many of you are sponsoring kids. Some of you are maybe intrigued with some of the new things that Compassion is doing. I encourage you to check it out. Grant, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
It's been great to have you to share a little bit with us. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
A couple good ones for you, for the youth.
Yeah, this Wednesday, August 24th, the youth are meeting at Thetis Lake up on the main beach for a night of youth swimming.
Nice, and possibly one of the last really nice, lovely summer evenings to do that. So they're not gonna wanna miss out. And it's one of the last ones because it's almost time to go back to school. Summer is almost over.
It's very sad.
Please don't say that. But it's true. Back to school in Loveland Laces, those shoes and backpacks are due back today. We're not saying today, are we?
Yeah, today.
Today?
Today.
Is it really today?
It's today.
August 21st, that's today?
I forgot mine.
Please go get your backpack.
Okay,
go
home. Okay, one second. I'll be right back.
I hope she gets there and remembers it.
Oh, I got it.
She did.
Here you go. It's all for you.
Thank you. That's right.
If you were like me and you forgot your backpack, go get it and bring it back. We got to get those to the family. So if you didn't bring it back, you're going to be getting a call from the teacher over here.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. So get your backpacks and your shoes in for Pack to School and Loving the Laces. And let's send some kids back to school.
Ready for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys.
Well, it definitely is a big day indeed. August 21st, the day of returning all of our backpacks and shoes for sure. If you are around and you've brought a backpack, you can make sure to hit that up in the back after the service. But welcome. We're so glad that you have joined us, that we can all be here together and worshiping our God on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we do begin, and I'm going to read this call to worship from Psalm 96, verses 1 to 4, which says this. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, greatly indeed. So let's begin by singing, Your Love Awakens Me.
Yes.
bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name still, call the sea to still, the region be to steal every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, 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 you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. The shadows can't deny your name, cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name. Tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, on His unchanging grace. In every eye and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Yeah, God, we do trust you because you are strong, because you are consistent, because you are our hope. God, we thank you for these truths that we've just sung, that our hope is built on you, that in our weakness you are made strong, that in the name of Jesus, fear trembles and light is brought and seen and felt. So God, we just praise you. We give you glory for who you are. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll invite you guys to take a seat. And kids, you can head to the back and find Shyla.
And she would love to take you to your kids program. Oh, thank you. I have an entourage helping me unplug myself so that I don't just drag everything off the stage, because that would happen. It would. We have been in a series the last few weeks looking at encounters of Jesus. And this week, Christina is going to be speaking to us, and we're going to be looking at the story of the demoniac. And so obviously it makes sense that we're not going to read that scripture. But we are going to read a scripture from Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission, which is going to feed into the story of the demoniac. So now we've got your curiosity tagged. Let's read this piece of scripture today. The Great Commission. This is Jesus after he has risen from the grave, meeting with his disciples and giving them this message, which then is also for us as future disciples. And it says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Just let me pray over this scripture. Let's pray this scripture together, maybe. God, we thank you for this message. We thank you just for the reminder that even when the 11 meet Jesus, some of them doubted, and that we can be in that same spot. Some of us worship, some of us doubt, some of us do both. But God, I thank you that you welcome both, both the skeptic and the enthusiast, and that you give all of us the same message, that you have given all of us all authority in heaven and on earth. And that because we have that authority, we are therefore empowered to go and make disciples of all nations. And that can sound really intimidating at times, and yet I'm also just reminded that you always start with where we are currently. In our current circles, the schools that we go to, the family that we've been placed in, our workplaces, God, you have placed us in these places for this purpose, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all the things that you have commanded us. And finally, God, we thank you for the reminder, the most important part, that surely you are always with us to the very end of time. We can trust that you always walk with us as we go out and do this work and partner with you in this mission. So we are so grateful. We thank you. We pray that you would give us courage and boldness to preach and teach and live lives that reflect your kingdom, your message, your gospel. And we need to do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. So we pray, Lord, have mercy. Holy Spirit, come. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Christina.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be with you in person, and for those of you watching online, it's good to be with you too. And I think Sundays are always special, and Sunday services are special because we get to come and just spend a little bit of time focusing solely on Jesus. And if you're like me, and today especially, man, my mind wants to go so many other places, and I don't want it to. So this is elementary teacher in me. Let's just take a moment to all breathe, to remember why we are here, so that we can really hear the Spirit of God teach us today. So do whatever you need to do, whether it's a little shake, a breathe. I'm going to do a little shake and breathe, and then we'll get into it. To start off, I want to introduce you all to my grandpa. This is him. And he came a few years ago and visited me. He lives in Florida, so he came all the way to Victoria to see me, which was such a gift. He just celebrated his 93rd birthday, so this was a big deal for him to come all the way up here. But he's one of my favorite people. He's also the best storyteller I know. And when I actually first started preaching, he was talking to me about it, and he said, "Christina, I have never preached a sermon in my life, even though his entire life he's been a pastor and missionary. He said, I've never preached a sermon in my life. I've only ever told stories." And that is true. That's all he does, is tell stories. Today, at 93, his ministry is going into prisons, the prison that's just a few miles down the road from him. And before COVID, he was going 5 days a week. COVID stopped that. He went back, I think, 5 days a week and realized 93-year-old body just can't do the same thing. But he's going in there regularly and doesn't preach. He just loves the men there. And they discover the grace, the mercy, the love of a father who, doesn't matter what is in their past, he is there for them right now. So he is an inspiration to me. And because he tells such great stories, today I wanted to actually tell one of the stories that he shared with my family and me just a little while ago. Because we're talking about people's encounters with Jesus, and this is a story of a man encountering Jesus. Now, before I get into the actual story, just a reminder, we need this every time we open Scripture, especially when we're reading the words of Jesus, these interactions with Jesus and people in Scripture. These happened thousands of years ago, and the reason why we keep returning to these same stories over and over and over again is because they have significance for us today, because the kingdom that Jesus was establishing, that it was his main purpose here on earth, that kingdom is still a reality today because it's an eternal kingdom. It's a kingdom that is coming. It's a kingdom that's here and now. It's a kingdom that's going to be come in all fullness in the future. So when we read these stories, when we read this story today, we are learning about the kingdom of God. When we hear Jesus' words, we're learning about the kingdom of God. We're learning the principles that we can apply to our own lives today. So if you're sick and tired of hearing that, maybe that's good, because maybe we finally got it. But we are going to be looking at the book of Mark. This story is actually significant enough that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all included it in their Gospels. But Mark chapter 4, we read about Jesus teaching huge crowds of people about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like. And he was busy and tired, I'm sure, and so one day he tells his disciples, "We're going to get in the boat and we're going to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." So disciples, they get in the boat with Jesus, they start going, and it becomes a bit chaotic because a storm rises up and the waves are crashing into the boat and the disciples are terrified. And to make it worse, Jesus has chosen this time to fall asleep and he's taking a little nap, and they're freaking out and they shake him and they say, "Jesus, like, do you see what's going on around us? Like, why aren't you more concerned about this situation? We're experienced fishermen and we're terrified, so this is really a big deal." And Jesus gets up and he doesn't seem to care that much and just says, like, "Be still." And the winds die down, the waves dissipate, and his poor disciples are terrified. And we read in Mark chapter 4, verse 41, that they looked at each other and they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They had been with Jesus, and yet they were still kind of going like, this guy has power that we don't fully understand. So they come to shore, they get out of the boat. I'm sure they're exhausted, they're freaked out, seeing if the boat's all right, getting the water out. But they don't have much time before a man approaches them. And this guy is not the best welcome committee, or the welcome committee that you would want to have. Because we read that he has an unclean spirit. So that means he is demon-possessed. And this poor man who's approaching Jesus, he all day and night screams, and he takes rocks and he cuts himself with the rocks. It's a kind of a terrifying picture. And the people in the community had tried to restrain him, and so they had tied him with things, tied him with chains even, and that didn't even hold him back. He had so much strength that nothing could contain him, and so he just spent his days and nights wandering around the tombs and the mountains that were by the shore. But this one day, this man who's screaming, cutting himself, he looks out, and he sees a boat that's coming to shore and Jesus getting out of it. And something within him draws him to Jesus, and he runs to Jesus and he falls to his knees before him. And this is when the story gets really, really weird. Because Jesus, he looks at this man, and instead of speaking to the man, he starts speaking to the spirit that was in this man, this unclean spirit. And he asks the spirit, "What is your name?" And the spirit replies, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us. There are many spirits in this man." Now, while this is all happening, on a hill nearby, there are some people minding their own business. They have a whole herd of pigs, and they're taking care of their pigs. And, yeah, they're just kind of bystanders. Not much is happening with them. But this man who has all these demons, the spirits within him say to Jesus, "Hey, please," they're begging him, "don't send us away from here, but instead send us into those pigs, those 2,000 pigs on the hill over there. Send us there instead." And Jesus gives these spirits permission to leave this man's body and go into the 2,000 pigs. And then those 2,000 pigs, now who have the spirits, the legion of spirits, they go down the steep bank and into the lake and drown. What a weird story, a weird, wild story. And I am imagining these poor disciples who just got off from like a crazy evening of a big storm and Jesus like calming this storm and them being freaked out because of that. They get out of a boat, don't have time to catch their breath, and they witness Jesus send all these spirits into 2,000 pigs who drown themselves. Like, what's going on? But this was a fantastic day for this poor man. Right? The man who had the demons, this was an amazing day for him. He had encountered Jesus, he had witnessed and experienced his power, his authority. But the problem was that those guys who were looking over their pigs, right, taking care of them, they knew exactly what had happened. They had witnessed what had happened. They knew it was because of Jesus' words that now their pigs, their livelihood, were at the bottom of the lake. And so they ran into town, they ran into the countryside, and they told everyone there what had happened. And those people, they wanted to know what had happened, so they came to where Jesus was. And what do they find? They find the man that they recognize, who screamed day and night, who was cutting himself, who they had tried to bind up with chains, and that didn't work. He was sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Wow. And they also saw a nice hill with no pigs on it. And they looked at Jesus, and they begged him to go. They were so freaked out. Who is this man who somehow has freed the man of whatever was going on with him, but has killed 2,000 pigs? We don't want anything to do with you. So Jesus got into the boat, and he sailed away. No opportunity to preach about the kingdom. No opportunity to heal. He came. He got out of the boat. He killed 2,000 pigs. Got back in the boat and left. And he went back to the other side of the lake. And he was met by crowds of people. And he started preaching and teaching about the kingdom. Seems like a more successful day, right? So let's fast forward this story a bit. And moving to Mark chapter 6, we read that Jesus goes again across the lake with his disciples. This time, Jesus walks on water. Like, these poor disciples, like, crossing the lake is never a good thing for them. It's always a bit terrifying. But they get again across the lake, and they get out of the boat, and it says that the people recognize Jesus. It's Jesus again. And they started running across the towns and countrysides telling people that Jesus is here. And you can totally imagine what they are saying, right? Like, he's back. Tie up your animals. The pig killer is back. But that's not actually what it says. It says in verse 55 of chapter 6 that they ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he was, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. That's different, right? Just a little while before, they were begging him to leave, and now they're begging him to just, oh, let me touch the corner of your robe. So what changed? What made such a difference? Well, we got to go back to chapter 5. Verse 17, we read that the people are begging Jesus to leave. But verse 18, it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. That's what changed. A man had encountered Jesus. He had experienced his power, his authority, his mercy. And because of that one encounter, he said, I will follow you wherever you go. Just let me come with you. And Jesus said, no. Which seems crazy on first read. But he said, no, because you need to go back. Go back to your family. Go back to your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. Go back to those people and tell them, show them what I have done. Show them how powerful and awesome I am. Show them how merciful I am. And he did. He went back. And went back to his home, and then he went through the whole region telling people about his encounter with Jesus. And what did it say? The people were amazed. And what I find so striking about this is Jesus, while he was walking on this planet, while he was in bodily form, he was not welcomed everywhere. He was not able to preach the good news of the kingdom everywhere he went. He was asked to leave sometimes. And yet, in this instance, we see a man who encounters Jesus, and he has the opportunity to go and preach the same message of the kingdom. This is good news. This is healing for the sick. This is freedom for the oppressed. He got to go and tell the message of the kingdom in spaces where Jesus was not able to go. Isn't that crazy? And it reminds me that that passage, the Great Commission that Kim read for us, this call that Jesus has given to you, to me, to all of us who claim him as Lord, to go out and make disciples, this is not and it has never been plan B. Right from the beginning, when Jesus was still walking on this earth, his plan was still to use ordinary people like you and me to go out and preach the good news of the kingdom. Because when you think about this story in particular, like, how long has this man spent with Jesus? You know, he had his 12 disciples who for years were with him, day and night. They witnessed all this stuff. This man, what, maybe a day? And Jesus entrusted the message of the kingdom to him. To go out and teach people about what he had witnessed, what he had experienced. And he didn't have some, like, fancy tract that Jesus gave him. Oh, here are the four steps, and this is what you need to tell people. No fancy way of telling people this good news. Just go out and tell your story. Testify to what you have seen, what you have experienced. And if you guys are like me, maybe you're starting to feel a bit uncomfortable with where this sermon is going. Because I love Jesus, and I want to follow him, and I can understand this man wanting to get in the boat with Jesus and go, I will follow you wherever you go. Just let me be with you. That sounds great. But I got a really long list of all the reasons why I shouldn't be sent, why I shouldn't have to be the one to go and tell people, right? I can list a few of them off to you right now. I do not have the gift of evangelism. That's not me. I don't always feel like I'm equipped to go out and live a missional life. I don't have the right temperament, personality. I'm not outgoing enough to go and share my faith with others. I feel like the risk of a relationship being broken is far greater than what I could possibly say or the influence I could possibly have in someone's life. Do you guys have lists like that? I feel like we could just keep going. But before we start thinking about our lists of why this message is not for us, let's just remind ourselves of what Jesus was actually asking this man to do. He said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. That's what he asked this man to do, and I think that's what he is asking us to do, to go out and tell people what the Lord has done for me, for you. The mercy he has shown me, the mercy he has shown you. It's your story. That's what you need to share. How have you seen the Lord work in your life? And maybe those are these big, significant moments. Or maybe it's, how have I seen the Lord's mercy today? How can I share my story today? And then the question is, to whom do I share this story with? And it's right there too. Go home to your people. Go to the spaces where you are already welcome, where you're already having conversations. Maybe the spaces where you can go and others can't. That's where you go and you have a conversation about what the Lord has done for you. And hopefully, you're realizing that this doesn't have to be so scary. This doesn't have to be weird. I think that's actually the thing that we need to avoid, being weird. Let's just talk about the way that we have seen the Lord working in our lives. And remember that it is not us who saves. This is always Jesus. What this man was doing was going into his space, and he was testifying to who Jesus is. He was testifying to the kingdom that Jesus was bringing. Just sharing his story. I had the privilege of hearing a few weeks ago the story of how one woman came to faith in Jesus. And it was a cool story because it was a neighbor of hers who followed what Jesus asked this man. He just obeyed and went into his own spaces and shared the story of how God had been faithful to him, how the Lord had worked in his life, how he could witness the mercy of God. And the beautiful thing is that the Spirit of God was working in this woman's life. And so her neighbor just was able to be used by God so that she herself could experience God's power, his mercy, his love. And what's fantastic is I don't have to share this story because this woman, Jan, she's already doing what Jesus is asking all of us to do. She is sharing her story. So I'm going to step away, and we have a little video where Jan is going to share her story with you all.
That you're going to hear today. I was born to a Catholic mother and a non-religious, let's put it this way, father. I became very familiar with nuns, Catholic Church, and this sort of thing. And at 11, he took me to the Anglican Church and made me an Anglican, or so he thought. and we never, after the service of that, we just never discussed it again. This is what happened in our house. We just didn't discuss anything like that. And I was sent to boarding school and forced to take communion for 2 years, which really, I felt my rights were being violated. So this left me very bitter about organized religion. When I was 25, I had just given birth to my daughter. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which is a autoimmune disease. You can see by my hands, this is the residue of 50 years of arthritis. And from 25 to 40, I was just given prescriptions. And it helped keep the inflammation down, but crippling just continued. At 40, I found myself bedridden, and they put me in hospital, and it took 9 months for me to walk again. When I came out, I was mobile, but I still had this very crippled left leg. And they told me to wait 10 years, and they'd start replacing joints. So that's what I did. It was a terrible 10 years pain, and you know, I was hardly getting around. And at 50, they started putting new joints in me, and each one was like a miracle. So at 60, I was basically reborn physically, you know. I mean, I still have it, but it's a miracle. It really is a miracle. I truly believe God was present during those 10 years, even though I didn't know it, but I really think he was taking care of things and got me through all that, because it was a little scary at times and stuff. Rob Reinhart, who a lot of you probably know, I'm on the strata at my condo, and we always give an interview for new owners, so I interviewed him. We got to be friends, and over tea, we would talk about this faith that he had, this religion that he had. He was very open about it and everything. And so at Christmas that year, he phoned me and said, "Can I give you a Bible?" Now, I had part of me, my old me that despised religion, was, you know, would have said, "Oh, thanks." But what happened was when he asked me, I just said, sure. Sure just came out of my mouth as if somebody else had said it, you know? And he's at the door a minute later, and he hands me this huge, heavy Bible. And I immediately ripped the wrapping paper off, and it's the End of Suffering Bible. And in it, the first page, it's Joni Erickson Tada, who is a paraplegic. saying, "Dear friend, if you're reading this, you've probably experienced God's hardship." And I was taken with it. I just read, just kept reading, 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 reading. I was afraid of a big church. I thought I'd just go somewhere if there's somewhere small. So eventually took me down to Canvas Church, and everybody there was welcoming. Rob always talks about church family, and it is so true. I mean, 2 years later, I just, you know, they're my very, very close group, you know? And so I was baptized in April with three other younger women. And I haven't looked back since then. I'm just calm. I'm not reacting to things the way I used to. Letting the day happen instead of being up at 4 a.m. worrying about it. And my daughter on a recent visit just said, "I've never seen you so calm, Mom." She is used to me kind of running around with my head cut off all the time. And she said, "Whatever it is," you know, she knows what it is, but it has really made a difference apparently in my behavior. So many people were so helpful along this 2.5 year journey. And it wouldn't have been possible without all the people that have been, they know who they are, that have helped me with this. So I'm trying to think, because I have a disability and I can relate to that, that how I can reach the disabled community and say there's hope, there's peace, you know, you're not alone, because that's what was missing in my life for, you know, 60 plus years. So I'm hoping to try and find a way to do that.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah, every single story of someone encountering Jesus is beautiful, because you realize that it's not us. There's no way that a neighbor can cause that transformation. This is Jesus. This is us partnering with Jesus. This is being obedient to his call on our life. And I know for sure that you guys are not called, well, maybe I'm not sure about this, probably you're not called to Rob and Jan's condo. That's not where you're called. I know that you're not called to that prison in Florida. That's a bit too far for you to go. You're not called to reach my neighbors, but you are called. That I know for sure. You are called somewhere. You are called to take the message of the kingdom that you have tasted and seen, that you have experienced, and to go and share that within those spaces, into your context, the spaces that you have been welcomed into. So for the last little bit of time that we have together, I just want to walk us through an exercise. Maybe you are already doing this, and that's fantastic. Like, just look around at the people in this building right now. And can you imagine if every single person here was going into their own context and they were saying, "God, who are you calling me to? What do I need to share with the people that are around me? How can I articulate what you have done in my life?" If we were all doing that, like, this is how you change a city. Each one of us doing this. But maybe you're sitting here and you're going like, "This is new to me," or I've known, it's been sitting in the back of my mind for a while that I need to be doing this more, but where do I begin? Let's just go through a quick exercise to help us know where to begin. So there's a piece of paper in the seats in front of you, and there's pens there. And I'm going to ask you to just take the piece of paper, take the pen, because it's always good when we write stuff down, right? And what I'm going to have you do is make a few lists. What you're going to start out with is kind of giving titles to your lists. So you're going to think of the context that you already find yourself in. So it could be like home. So is that your building? Is that your block? Maybe you're a parent and it's like, actually, my home is my children, right? Like, that's the context, home, community, whatever it is. It could be work, a club, or like maybe you go to the gym, or you're part of a kayak club or running club, or whatever it is. What are the contexts that currently, right now, you are already in? And when you've kind of listed out those, think about the specific names, the names of the people that are in those contexts. And soon you're going to realize the spaces that you are welcomed into, the spaces that you have opportunity in that probably most of us here don't. And then I want you to just sit with this list for a little bit and ask God to show you who are the people here that maybe he's asking you to be a bit more intentional with. Or maybe it's the people that this week you need to be intentional about praying for. Or maybe you've already kind of had a spiritual conversation with someone and you go like, I need to follow up with that person. Whatever it is, this is where we start. Where we recognize, hey, we have been called, and this is where we've been called to. And God, what is the next step for me? So I'm going to give you all some time to do that. Kim's going to come up in just a little while and close the service in a song. But before I run off, know that you have everything that is needed. Not in yourself, but because you have the Spirit of God living within you. You are not Plan B. God has chosen each one of you specifically to be his disciple and to be his disciple maker. So be empowered. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
As you continue to maybe make your list or pray over the names on your list, we're going to begin to sing this song. It's called This Is My Prayer to the King. And the words just really are a prayer for God to fill us, for God to use us, that we would reflect him, which I think goes really well with what Christina was speaking on and inviting us into. And so I'm going to begin to sing the first couple verses, and I invite you to just remain seated. Maybe you want to continue to pray over your names, continue to think of where God is calling you to at this point in your life. And then after a little bit, I'll invite you to stand, and we'll take up the offering, and we'll close out the service. But just stay seated for the first little bit. Let these words be your prayer. Let the word of Christ, my Savior, dwell in me today. May his goodness be reflected in all I do and say. Let the wisdom of my Father be the light upon my way. May his Spirit always guide me. I am willing to obey. Let the love of Jesus fill me like water fills the sea. Let my whole life be a mirror of the mercy shown to me. Let the peace of God, my Father, rule in everything, that I might learn to trust him in joy or sorrow. I invite you to stand as we continue to sing this song. And at the same time, we're going to take up the offering so the ushers may come by and pass a little thing around. If you want to put any money in there, you can. Or we have a giving station in the back too for after. Let's declare this. Let's pray this song together. May I run the race before me, strong until the end. I will keep my eyes on Jesus and run the race to win. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek to win the lost. May I be a faithful servant to the message of the cross. Oh, this is my prayer to the King. He's worthy of glory, the best that I can bring. Oh, this is my prayer to the King. My life for his glory, my call and my creed. Oh, this is my prayer to the King. Oh, this is my prayer to the King. My life for his glory. 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 Your glory, my life, for your glory. strong until the end. I will keep my eyes on Jesus and run the race to win. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek to win the lost. May I be a faithful servant to the message of the cross. Amen. What a prayer. May it be so. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us today as we head out from this place. Just a few announcements for us. First off, we would love to connect with you if you're new or if you just want to reach out and let us know of something that's going on in your life. We would love to connect with you. You can fill out the little card in the seat in front of you, or you can send us an email at office@sandwichbaptist.com and someone will get in touch with you. Also, we would love to, we are a church of prayer. We would love to be people of prayer. And so we'll have people available at the front to pray with you if you would like, or if you just want to turn to the person you came with or someone next to you and just ask for prayer or sit in prayer. This is the space to do that. We want to invite you and encourage you to do so. And if you didn't catch the offering plate as it passed, or you didn't have cash with you, and yeah, you wanted to hit up the giving station, there is, you'll see the sign at the back, and you can go there for all kinds of digital ways to do that. We're so appreciative of all of the people that support SBC and enable us to all partner together to do God's ministry, and so we're grateful for that. As we go from this place, I just want to leave us with a benediction that's a quote from a guy named Richard Halverson. But it says this: you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. And Christ, who indwells you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, and his power. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would that be true? Go in grace, and we'll see you next week.